was singing there because that board was in my way. But whoever you were, thank you. And John for having the prayer with us this morning. And I don't want to forget our sound booth, Fred and Walter back there, and Devereaux. You can't ever see him, but he sees you because he's running the cameras. And we have quite a team here. I especially want to thank our pastor this morning as he brings to us the bread of life. Our scripture reading, Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 5. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And all mankind will see it, because the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Amen. God bless you this morning.
Good morning. I'm glad to see you all here. And if you're visiting, we want to welcome you too. And I pray for those who are watching at home, if they're sick, that they will feel better. What I'm going to talk to you today about is very important. In fact, I want to begin with a statement that I read that's very significant. The present is a time of overwhelming interest to all living rulers and statesmen, men who occupy positions of trust and authority, thinking men and women of all classes have their attention fixed upon the events taking place about us. They are watching the relations, listen to this, that exist among the nations. They observe the intensity that is taking possession of every earthly element, and they recognize that something great and decisive is about to take place, that the world is on the verge of a stupendous crisis. What do you think? Do you agree? Take your Bible and turn to Malachi chapter 4 first, and I want to introduce our message. Malachi chapter 4, if you have your Bible, please read with me beginning in verse 4. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Now here's the command. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Here's the action words. I will send. Who's going to send? God says, I will send before the coming, the day of the Lord. Terrible day. I will send you Elijah. He will turn, listen to this, here's his message, the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to what? To their fathers. A heart-turning message. Crying in the wilderness. When I look at where we are, my brothers and sisters, I am weeping for this world. What do you say? I want to begin with a statement I gave you one of the first church services that we had. When your attention is distracted, your understanding is distorted, and your vision is disrupted. Let me say again. When your attention is distracted, your understanding is distorted, and your vision is disrupted. The devil is doing everything he can to turn the eyes and the hearts of Seventh-day Adventist Christians away from the Word of God. Television, friends, everything, turning God's people away from the Lord. Although I continues in Prophets and Kings 4:17, there's a limit beyond which men may not go in sin. When the limit is reached, then the offers of mercy are withdrawn and the ministration of judgment begins. We are almost there. It's a dark time for this world, crying in the wilderness. Turn with me to Matthew, chapter 3. And by the way, my dear brothers and sisters, precious friends, I have been on this message, studying and reading it and writing it for the last 2 weeks. This is hot off the press. I got up this morning at 3:45, up yesterday at 3 o'clock, laboring over this. Not because it's simply a difficult message, but because we need a revival in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. We need the rain to fall. Crying in the wilderness. A divine challenge. Matthew chapter 3, we read, "In those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah," which we just read, "saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, pleading in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" In 1 Kings chapter 18, we're introduced to an Old Testament prophet who represents those who, like him, are taking up into heaven without experiencing death. The story of this mountaintop experience illustrates for us principles that I alluded to last week. The life of Elijah and his confrontation with the infamous King Ahab of Judah is another key to understanding the Word of God. The Old Testament's testimony of Elijah is not in isolation, but the Lord takes this indication of understanding about him and passes it through the first century and the end of the world. Elijah is an example. First Advent, Matthew 3. John the Baptist quotes Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3. Turn to Matthew chapter 17 just for a moment, please. Matthew, the 17th chapter. The 17th chapter. Beginning there now, in verse 9. "Now, as they were coming," or came down from the mountain, "Jesus commanded them, saying, 'Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead.' And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Why then do the scribes say that who should come first?' 'Elijah should come first.' And then Jesus answered and said to them, 'Elijah truly is coming first and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah has come," what? "Already. And they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished. Likewise, the Son of Man is about to suffer at their hands.' And then the disciples understood that he spoke to them of John the Baptist." Turn to John chapter 1 just for a moment. John chapter 1. If you follow me down to verse 8:19. For this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "What? I'm not." Well, I thought Jesus called him Elijah. He said, "I'm not Elijah. Are you the prophet?" He said, "No." "Well, who are you then, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about who? What do you say about yourself? How do you view yourself?" And here are those words again. "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness." That means weeping, weeping in the wilderness. "Make straight the way of the Lord." I'm going to try to tie things together. And the next time I speak to you, I hope to be speaking on the good news of the time of trouble. All the promises of God are in who? Christ, yea and amen. Christ is our divine interpreter of the Bible. He is the one to interpret the Word of God for us. The Lord allowed a drought to affect the land. And by the way, Mount Carmel was considered the home of Baal. But also, Baal symbolizes God. Two gods, a rain god, a storm god. Israel had so confused and contaminated their worship that they allowed themselves to be taken into idolatry, to worship Baal and God. Do you know that on top of the confused worship, they were offering children to satisfy by Baal? And you know what the Lord said? "I never even dreamt that. It never even came into my mind, the things that you are doing." Take your Bible, turn to 1 Kings 18, please. Let's journey together in 1 Kings 18. How you love the Bible. You love the Bible, brothers and sisters? Oh, how I love thy word. Thy word is a lamp, a light. Oh, my. What a God. What a God. What a God. What a God. 1 Kings chapter 18, and let's pick it up in verse 1 and 2. "Now it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, 'Go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth.'" According to James chapter 5 and verse 17, Elijah was a man like unto us, and he prayed that it would not rain, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. I'm going to suggest that was also prophetic. I'll point that out in just a minute. The Lord allowed the drought to come. There would be no rain. And then we see Elijah in action. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 17 to 19. 17 to 19. "And then it happened, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab asked him, 'Is that you, you maniac, you troubler of Israel? You're the one that prayed it would not rain. Can you imagine praying to God, take the Holy Spirit away from the church? They're not serving me. Take it away from him. Take it away from her. Lord forbid.'" Mm. 17 to 19. "He said, 'I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and you have followed the Baals, the Baals. Now therefore stand and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. You know, the Bible talks again at the end of the world in Revelation chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. The dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. King Ahab, Jezebel, and the prophets of Baal. First century A.D., John the Baptist, Herod and Salome. Dragon, beast, and false prophet. What does a prophet do? Prophesies falsely. Oh, my brothers and my precious sisters, Jesus Christ is about to drop the curtain on last events. He's about to do that. This confrontation occurred on Mount Carmel. Elijah calls God's people back to the commandments of God and the everlasting gospel. The law and the gospel. Dr. Hans Lorendahl, the late Dr. Lorendahl, one of my closest teachers and friends from Andrews, talks about the word Armageddon. The word Armageddon means Har, mountain of slaughter, but it also means mountain of Megiddo. On the plains of Jezreel, there was a place, a little place, wasn't it, Carl? Called Megiddo. But there was a mountain there, Mount Carmel, stood over the plains of Jezreel. Har, Megiddo, the mountain of God, the mountain of Carmel, the mountain of Megiddo. It's really interesting. You know, when you fly into Portland, Oregon, anyone here ever been to Portland? What's the first thing you see? Mount Hood. Mount Hood is the mountain of Portland, as Mount Carmel was the mountain of Megiddo. In the prophetic writings about Elijah, the confrontation or conflict occurred near Megiddo on the plains of Jezreel. It symbolizes the last battle over worship. How long will you halt between two opinions? If God is God, worship Him, say amen. If God is not God, then live for yourself. All the Old Testament kingdom prophecies passed through Jesus. I'm the voice crying in the wilderness. John would lift up the gospel. Remember what John the Baptist said, and I'm coming back to 1 Kings 18. He said, behold the Lamb, what? There's the gospel. And then in Matthew chapter 14, he tells Herodias, many feel publicly, you are living in sin. You have broken the Ten Commandments. What did it cost him, by the way? His head. Salome asked for his head on a platter to celebrate Herod's birthday. Imagine bringing a platter in with John the Baptist's head. Who would even think of such a terrible thing? Well, we're no different than they were, are we? Not really. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says, God in these last days, has spoken to us by His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the ultimate revelation of God. Would you say amen to that? The key elements of worship are present as Elijah repaired the altar of the Lord that had been broken down. Turn to verse 31 and 32, and you'll see the gospel, the evening sacrifice, the burnt offering. Here it is. 31 and verse 32 of 1 Kings 18. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. And then with the stones he built an altar, made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 seahs of water. And he put the wood in what? What does it say? in order. Here's a picture of the cross. He put the wood in order. And he cut the bull in pieces, laid it upon the wood, and said, "Fill four water pots of water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood." And then he said, "Do it a second time." And he said, "Do it what?" You know why? Because he was honoring the God of heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. 1 Kings 17:21 says a similar thing. He built the altar of the Lord. I suspect that in many of our homes, the altar has been broken down. Verse 36, it was a time to offer the evening sacrifice, the burnt offering. Again, everlasting gospel. Verse 37, Elijah calls to God's people. It's a heart-turning message. Listen to verse 37. "Hear me, O Lord. Oh, hear me, that these people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again." Oh, I want a heart-turning experience with Almighty God. There's two choices in this world. Either the Lord or the Baals you make for yourself. The Lord is the only one that can change the conditions of our heart. It's a picture of the everlasting gospel. The altar, stones repaired, set in order, bull sacrificed on the altar. And then we have in verse 38 and 39, Elijah. You have to understand the backdrop of this. Baal has been all morning until noontime chanting, and they cut themselves, did they not? Do you know why they did? Well, ever since Abel, they knew it was a sacrifice God required and not fruits and vegetables. So they sacrificed themselves, cutting themselves, running around like naked people, screaming to Baal, and Baal never answered. And Elijah, in one minute, he says, "O Lord God, thou art God in heaven." Amen. Amen. "And to you I talk now." Even God listened to Elijah. Oh, I love it. Verse 39, listen to this. "Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, 'The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God.'" And we would add, "The Lord, he is God." "Elijah said to them, 'Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape.' So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them there. Blood must have flowed down. 450 priests of Baal, 450 prophets of Asherah, and the blood just soaked." You know what's going to happen at the end? Every tongue will confess, every knee will bow, and every tongue will say, "This is the Lord." Oh, I love you, my friends, and I'm speaking from my heart. Are you ready? Are you crying in the wilderness for a deeper experience with God than you've ever had before? Here's the progression of Elijah's call. He challenges them to come back to the Lord, to his command. Secondly, he repairs the altar of the Lord by offering the burnt offering. His challenge to God's people is, "How long will you falter? How long are you going to take to make a decision?" Two choices. Now come on down to 1 Kings 18:44. What did I say? 1 Kings 18 what? 44. Does that date sound familiar to you? Listen here. Listen here, might I be able to pique your interest? Listen. Elijah tells his servant, "Go look toward the sea and see if there's any sign of rain." And then at verse 44, "And then came to pass the seventh time, and he said, 'There's a cloud, there's a cloud, there's a cloud about the size of what?'" That's the Seventh-day Adventist movement that arose in 1844. Kind of interesting, isn't it? 1 Kings 1844. "And this cloud of people arose out of nation, kindred, tongue, and people." And the last Elijah message was born. 1 Kings 18:44. How many of you find that interesting? I do. I preached that at camp meeting in Northern New England Conference in 1982, the year I was ordained. And Dan Matthews, how many of you know Dan Matthews from, is it Breath of Life? Well, we'll come back to it. Huh? Was it? It wasn't Faith for Today, but anyway, Dan is in the audience, and he's sitting right here, and I am preaching, and I came to 1 Kings 18:44 and gave the application. His eyes went wide, and he said, "Oh my, amen, amen." Well, you call it a coincidence if you want. But I'll tell you one thing, when I found it, oh, did I rejoice in the Lord. 3.5 prophetic years throughout the history of God's people, the Holy Spirit has been guiding from 538 AD to 1798, 1260 years of drought. But then the rain came. Oh, Father God, send the rain. Throughout this period of time, God's people were driven into the wilderness where millions lost their lives. Oh, my. Here it is. Commandments of God. He denounced the sins of Herod and Herodias. John accused him of adultery. And along with Salome, they had him beheaded. Matthew chapter 14. Elijah, listen to this now. The Bible teaches the Christ-centered application of all the Old Testament kingdom prophecies centering in the two advents of Jesus, his first coming and his second coming. You see this? Elijah, and a loud voice at the end of time. I saw an angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel, saying with a loud what? Say it with me. The voice of Elijah. The voice of Elijah. Oh, my friends, why have we not had a fire fall? The Holy Spirit wants to fall. He wants to come. John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus. And another Elijah preparing the way for Jesus. But what happened? What happened to our voice crying in the wilderness? What happened to our challenge to this dying world? Jesus is coming soon. Well, when is the fire going to fall? I'm going to give you a few principles, and we'll wind our message down. Number one, when we know our message is from God. When we know our message is from God, the fire will fall. You and I know the Bible, brothers and sisters. The Seventh-day Adventist Church was raised to be Bible people. Not Bible-thumping people, but Bible people. Put me in an audience. I don't need sermon notes. Give me the Word of God. Jack Colon's another one. Give me the Word of God. I'll take that. Dennis is one. I know the truth. Would you hold your Bible up a minute? Hold your Bible up high. I want Jesus to know how much you love the Word of God. Say, I love the Bible. The Bible is my guide in this dying world. And I will follow Jesus all the way. All the way. So the fire will fall when they know our message is from God. Number two, the fire will fall. The rain will come when we stand up for the right regardless of the cost. Elijah was afraid of Ahab. And since Elijah was wanting to meet the king, Obadiah was afraid as well. Number three, the rain will fall, will come when our need is the greatest. How great is your need? My brothers and sisters, I've been reading about revivals in the Adventist church. Carl and I talked about some. 1888, for instance. 1863. Do you know whenever the Bible talks about a revival, there is a confession of sin? People who have hurt and wronged each other ask for forgiveness. That's hard. You mean in a church like this, we actually say, brother, I hurt you. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? The rain comes when we take our message straight to the people. I'm taking it to you. I don't need to take it to hierarchy, because I'm going to share something with you. At the end of this world, it is not going to be the well-educated, finesse-speaking people. It's going to be John, who works at a mechanic shop, or Bill, who works cutting leather, or Tammy, who works at Walmart. Those are the kind of people that are going to challenge the Adventist church. And you know what the church is going to say? We've been in this our whole life. We cannot be wrong. And we're told that God bypasses them. Number five, when we repair the broken altar and lay everything on it, the fire will fall. Number six, the fire will fall when we face circumstances that our greatest need can only be filled by the fire of God. Oh, God, oh, God. We're God's end-time voice of Elijah. We need his courage, his conviction, his character, his connection, and his credibility. I have a couple of things to share. The first one, I was at a meeting in Springfield, Massachusetts. And Bill Liversidge, have you ever heard of Bill Liversidge? He stood up and he was talking about spiritual gifts. That's kind of where it fired me up to be a church growth planner, and I've done it for years. He started talking about the church and how we have inequality and how we actually hurt one another rather than hunt for one another and find one another and embrace each other. And as he began to talk, this elderly black woman stood up. Oh my. She said, I want to love you folk, but I've had hard time loving you folk. And then she went on to share her experience, and she began to cry. And people stood up everywhere, and they said, sister, we're so sorry. That meeting with Bill Liversidge experienced a revival. You should have heard the comments. Ah, now let me come down to Rocky Gale. I remember returning from seminary, and I was in charge of the early teen class. Have you ever taught early teen? Oh, my, my. Sister Cherie, early teens. Oh, my, my. I was teaching them. We had invited a man named John. I believe his last name was Henry. Sounds like the song John Henry. He was from Keene, Texas, Southwestern University. And it was the last night of the meetings, Saturday night. The big tent was going to let out in about half an hour. So I turned to him and I said, John, have you anything in closing? He said, I have nothing. In other words, he had given it all through the week. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. I've got to come down with you, you know. Oh, my. Listen. I began to talk, Carl, with the folk, these young kids, about Jesus. And this young boy, about 12 years old, I asked if anyone had anything to share. He said, I've got something to share. He was so excited about it. And he held up this little poem about Jesus. If Jesus had a puppy, he would not have been lonely. Sounds interesting, doesn't it? He began to open it up. And I heard crying from early teens, weeping. Oh, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Father. And one after another, they wanted to come up, and they came up. This young boy said, I've been on drugs. Mama doesn't know it. I am so sorry, Father God. Take this all away. Another young girl said, what I've been doing, my body's not right, Father. Please forgive me. Help me to start over. And another person looked around. He said, I've hurt some of you. And I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Man, Carl. The big tent let out. We're still going down there. Half an hour after the big tent closed, and we're still going on. And this elderly gentleman poked his head into the canvas tent. And I never forget this young girl saying, Mister, you don't want to come in here. You don't want to come in here. God's in here. You don't want to come in here. That carried on for a good 45 minutes after the tent had let out. And these kids came around and they hugged me. And we prayed and they said, Elder Gale, we have never in our life felt so close to God as we do now. We don't want to leave. You know that's a revival, is it not? I want to invite you to come up front with me so I can pray for you. Stand up with me. I don't know your heart. If you've hurt somebody in this church, you should make it right. If someone's hurt you, make it right, my dear brothers and sisters. If you misspoke, make it right. Don't allow the Sabbath sun to set tonight without making it right. I want to invite you to come forward so we can ask the Holy Spirit to give you a fire in your life, a crying in the wilderness for the lost. You see your own condition. You know you don't like what you've done. You know you're not happy with your life now. You know something's about to happen, and you're praying and hoping you'll make it. Come right up front. Come on, press up here, please. You're saying to God, oh, God, I want to make it. I want to go home with you. I don't see how I can be saved. My experience with you is not good, Lord. And I look, come on, honey, come on up here with me, my precious baby. She knows, she hears me talk about Jesus all the time. There's not an hour I'm not praying or studying. But you know something? Oh, my dear friends, I want a revival. I want a revival, this deep-seated revival, where men and women are not the same anymore. They're not the same anymore. Remember that song the Heritage Singers brought out? Something's happened at our house. Daddy's not the same anymore. Wouldn't it be wonderful for you? Press right to the front. I don't want you running out now. I want the Holy Spirit. I want him to ruminate in your life right now. Let the Holy Spirit ruminate in your life. I'm going to ask you, what would you like God to do for you? Go ahead and share. What would you like God to do for you?
Make me bolder for him.
We got a microphone. I'm going to pass it around if you'll get it. I want you to stay with me. Please, come on up front if you'd like to. If you come up here, though, you're going to be in the firing line. All right?
Make me bolder for him.
Make me bolder. Amen. Somebody else? What would you like from God?
I need the courage to step out in front of my family and other people that know me, and I need to let them know where God stands in my life.
Oh, amen. Amen, sister. Someone else. Someone else. Wes.
Let Jesus' light shine through me.
Oh, amen. Someone else. Yes, Autumn.
Make me willing to be willing.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Jack.
Strength to keep studying more with other people.
Amen.
To win their souls to Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Susan.
To trust and obey.
Yes. Someone else. Right here. There you go, my brother.
Tell my children that Jesus loves them.
Amen.
So that they will turn oh, his way.
Amen.
And see what he has for
amen.
Them.
Amen. Amen. Someone else. Who else? Right here.
I want the latter rain. I want that power to be able to share Jesus with my loved ones and
sister,
friends.
Sister, amen, amen, the latter rain, yes.
That we are taught that this country is an instrument for the second coming.
Yes. Oh, we're so close, aren't we? Yeah, back here, John. Please, go ahead, John.
I'm hoping and praying that the whole church will start coming to Wednesday night meeting.
Yes, 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 yes. I'm not rushing this. If you've got to go to lunch, you go ahead. God is here.
Amen.
And when God is here,
yes,
you have to listen. Amen. Someone else. Yes, my brother.
To open up our home to the whole church family, regardless of who it is.
Oh, thank you, brother. Thank you so much. Someone else. Yes, my brother.
To give me strength to continue to keep taking the word to my children.
Yes, 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 yes. Anyone else? Come on.
To help us remember, he's going to turn the hearts of our children to us and to the Lord.
He's so wonderful. And what did she say? This little woman said, the last revelation will be of the love of Jesus to this dying world. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? The love of Jesus. I'm going to give another opportunity for someone. Maybe you know the Holy Spirit's talking to you and you're shy and you don't want to say anything, you know?
To bring our youth back to our church.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. And you know the youth will come when they know we're genuine. Won't they? I was seated at a table, my wife knows this, Mariah and her sisters, Amanda and Sienna, and I asked these girls, do you come to church because you want to hear a nice story or whatever? We come to church because we want to hear the truth of God. We want to know where we are. You know, when you have these kind of meetings, you never know what's going to happen, do you? You don't. Let me pray for you. Oh, our Father, put a hand on someone near you. Oh, Father God, send your Holy Spirit. Please, Father, help us to cry in the wilderness. The lost people, our children, our sisters, our brothers, oh, Father, send your sweet spirit. Now is the time for the latter rain, Zechariah 10:1. We plead with you, and you're more willing to give the Holy Spirit than we are to give gifts to our own children. Oh, Father, you've heard these testimonies today. Go with us as we go to our home. And, Father God, I ask that we will never be the same again. Help us to be changed men and women. In Jesus' name we pray. And the whole church said, amen. Amen, amen. God bless you for coming. The Lord be with you as we wind down with our closing hymn. Was it good to be in the house of God today?
Yes.
Amen, amen. Good to be in the house of God, wasn't it?
Amen.
Amen, amen. Good to be in the house of God. You go right ahead. No, you go ahead, dear.
Stand with us. So
Was it good to be in the house of the Lord? I love you. You're beautiful people. Let's work together to see this world warned so that we can present trophies to Jesus Christ. Father, God bless us. Go with us today, Father. You're an amazing, amazing God. Oh, Father God, how much we love you. And sweet, sweet Jesus, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bright, the morning star. Oh, how we love you. And Holy Spirit, it's your time to function. It's your turn. Pour out your rain upon us, we pray. In Jesus' name. And the whole church said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming today.